Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, okay. Sweat City, we about to kick this show off, right? Now, I'm gonna just do this like this, you know. I'm having a little technical difficulty, so we won't be swinging into the music coming into the show. But I had to, you know, take off my blazer, loosen up the tie, step aside the kitchen. Timeless is alive. The grill is all set. We ready to get this thing rolling. But before I jump into that Sports City, I'm not going to lie to y'all right now. I sit here in front of Sports City with all of the happiness and joy that I have sitting in the green room with my brothers, having all the fun in the world with my people, and doing something that I love to do best. I do have to start the show off with the loss of life of my cousin, my little cousin, that is dear, true, close to me. Shaquan McMillan, rest in peace to my cousin. Moment of silence to my cousin Shaquan. For City. So I'm going to get into this thing, and I'm heavy-hearted, you know what I'm saying? I got a lot on my mind. The reason why we didn't kick off the brunch this Sunday is because I was dealing with that situation as it was fresh to me going into that morning. And, of course, I have my brother supporting me, telling me to just lay back. We'll get at him, you know, as soon as possible. So we back in the kitchen. And, you know, outside of, you know, the reality of, like, fighting at me, I sit here in front of a Tuesday, right? Now, on this doggone Tuesday, October the 3rd, right, it's the Thunder's first preseason game. And we'll dabble a little more into the Thunder situation. I have some news to break in the kitchen, Sports City. I have some news to break in the kitchen. I have papers that I have handed out, so that news will be broken shortly. So the first game of the preseason for the Thunder today. Also, y'all know me for the past almost 8 years now in Sports City, but a lot of people that know me, you know, lifelong, know that I'm a diehard Minnesota Twins fan. My boys are taking their act on the road, right here in my backyard up against the New York Yankees. And everybody that I know that I grew up with, they're diehard Yankee fans. And, of course, we have this. It's not even a rivalry. They've been beating us up. But we got to change the tide today. So I'm feeling some type of way about that. I'll try and dabble into that as much as I possibly can. And, I just want to get this thing rolling, man, the best way as I possibly can. Like I said, I'm having a little technical difficulty. Things not responding to me. So we won't be digging into, the usual intro here during the cookout. But I'm going to get my guys in here, my brothers. You already know how we do. Calling out of the state of Indiana, we have AR, a.k.a. Mr. Robinson. Welcome to the cookout. How are you feeling this evening?
Well, thank you once again. It's a beautiful day, and it's a blessing to be among you fine gentlemen this evening in Sports City. How's everybody doing this evening? First off, I would like to say, you know, my thoughts and prayers are to the people involved into Las Vegas. You know, I was there in August, and I do send my deepest condolences and deepest prayers for everybody in Las Vegas. Also would like to say that sending my prayers also to everybody involved in all the hurricanes going on, and especially Puerto Rico, who is not really getting as much help as they need right now. So yeah, They need assistance, and they are still a United States territory. They still belong to us. So, yeah, we need to help them.
The crazy part about that situation is Donald Trump just released a statement and said Puerto Rico has thrown our budget out of whack. Wow. You're worried about money.
I don't listen to 45 anymore. I don't listen to 45 anymore because
I still call him Trump, but just seeing that statement, it's like, man. And another thing too, they said anybody that was on ICU out there in Puerto Rico, majority of people passed away. So my thoughts and prayers are with people out there in Puerto Rico, as well as what he just mentioned about the people in Vegas. As Royce knows, I go to Vegas every year for my birthday. I'm in Vegas every December. And it's tough for me because I know people that are there. I know people that were at that concert people that were at that concert. I know people that were in Vegas from Connecticut, but they were, you know, at casinos down the road or whatever. But still, yet, like, it's just horrifying of thinking of it like that. But everybody that's going through some type of, you know, emotional stress or strain, man, I'm with y'all. I'm feeling it just like y'all, man. I've had a hell of a couple of years right now. I can't even just say 1 year, 2 years. I've been going through a lot too, just trying to rebuild myself. But I'm with y'all. We fighting this together, and I don't care. I'm on air right now, and if you feel some type of way and you're mad at me for what I'm about to say, so what? It's terrorism. I don't care what you say. This is a terrorist act. I'm not even looking
100%.
At it as a racist. I've been in arguments heavily for the past 2 days about this situation, saying that, oh, you're misquoting it and so on and so forth. I don't care. I'm going to say how I feel. Like this dude was trying to take out hundreds of people. Okay, let me get off that.
I was about to jump on that too, because I just don't understand how you can't call it a terrorist act. I just don't understand it. You know, you get a situation similar to that in like a country overseas, and they call it a terrorist act. But you get it over here, it's not a terrorist act. I don't get that. It doesn't sound right to me.
The way that they were wording it to me, they were saying that if it wasn't a political stance or gain, then it's called a mass murdering, which I don't give a damn what that dog definition says. I don't care. You're terrifying people out there to walk on the streets, be themselves in a city where everybody's having fun. Nobody's thinking of dodging bullets on the strip in Vegas. look. I can't even believe that happened. But that's a reality now for us to, you know, try and get through this together. I don't want to say get over it, because I don't like to hear when people say get over it. I'm not getting over it, but we have to get through this together. Okay. Last but not least, my big brother, R. Keezy, a.k.a. Mr. King, welcome to the cookout. How are you feeling this evening?
Man, I thought y'all was going to start the show without me. Whew. Been sitting out there in that green room waiting for a minute. Y'all done turned it into the politics show, the Sports City show, Sports City Inside Sports City Politics with AR and Timeless. Like, man. Hey, I'm going to keep it real with you fellas, man. On the serious side, I know it's a lot going on in this world right now, and it needs our attention. We got to address these matters, and we will get to it in some way, shape, form, or fashion. But at the very moment, I think the folks need to be entertained. So I come to do my job, and that's to try to help lift some spirits and be entertaining. And the first thing I'm going to do is throw them coats under the bus. I got my guns blazing, shots fired, a whole franchise down. Hey, you're not lucky. You have no Drew in Ann. So what you better get ready to do is face the 49ers. Both of y'all really are 0-4 in my book, because beating the Browns is nothing to brag about. And you better pack up that whole damn defense that gave up 136 total points, more than any team in the entire NFL. What the hell is the problem, Indianapolis? Is it the Speedway? What? Somebody get a defense. Call prime time. Get out the steel curtain, the doomsday defense, the Ravens defense. You bet Seahawks defense. Somebody. Anybody, everybody, scream! Oh!
Hey, man, we're only 9 minutes in, and you're already starting this. Already.
Sad. Well, I ain't playing with y'all, man.
What you need to do is
losing their mind. Come on, people. You need to find a
run defense for your Cowboys. That's what you need to do, is find a run defense.
Sports
hey,
City.
Man.
This is
first
Sports City.
Sports
City.
Let's
Hold
be
on, wait,
clear.
Wait. Sports City. I'm going to do it like this, Sports City. I can really take the wheels off of this show, right? Because this is the cookout, so anything goes. Like I don't need to have a script. I can let these two go at it. Like I can. Like, this is that type of show. So I could let the wheels go off of this thing if I want to.
Don't hold me back.
Uh-oh. Here's the crazy part. I didn't know. Look, I know the Colts are having a tough time. And, Royce, before we got in the green room, I'm going to tell you this, AR, people of Sports City. Royce was in the hell of that bag, okay? He was in that bag number crunching. So I'm not messing with him right now. I'm not. He pulled out 136 points that y'all giving up. Right. Woo. Listen, I'm leaving him alone. I'm leaving that brother alone. He was in that bag. I said, that boy is crunching for real. He crunching. He ain't even cooking. He like eating Doritos with salsa right now. He ain't playing. Okay. Like I said, I can't let this off the wheels if I want to, and I want to try to keep this limited to the hour that we got. I know we may end up running over, but I do want to see my boys in action. But here goes the crazy part, Sports City. So I'm gonna put this on the grill. I gotta light this kitchen on fire. I've been sitting on it for too long. Ever since I got the word Friday, about the situation. So, without any further ado, Sports City, the grill is on fire. Mr. Robinson has something that he would like to announce here at the beginning of the month of October, people.
Oh, you just throwing me on the grill like that. Okay. Well, everybody in Sports City knows that I am an avid Pacer fan. If and runs a reason. I am a Pacer fan, true and blue.
Wagon jumper.
This year, I will be a Thunder fan. Let's go, Loud City. We're going to get it done. We're going to make it happen. Russ is going to have a great year. Everybody's concerned about if Russ can Melo and Paul George? Yes, he can. Yes. And then also, Robertson doesn't need to shoot the basketball at all. Guard, play defense, touch the ball. That's all I got to say on that. It's going to happen. Okay, see, it's going to beat Golden State this year. Mark my words.
Hey, Simon. You hear this fair weather friend? Fair weather fan, man, this boy done jumped off them Pacers. Didn't even realize he needed to jump off that damn Colt train. The Colt train is the train that's running out of control and off the rails. You ain't even let the start. He ain't even let the basketball season start, and he already off the Pacers. And you know, at least they have admitted to the entire nation we are in a basic rebuild mode. They ain't thinking about winning no championship. They keeping it real. Keeping it 100, as they say. But no, he's still riding with these broke-ass Colts. Jump off the Colt train and ride the Chiefs. I don't care. They're undefeated. You're picking winners. Pick the Chiefs. Be a Chief fan. What's wrong with AR? Somebody.
How am I picking a winner? They ain't even started the season yet. Season ain't even started yet.
But you just picked OKC to win it all. You just said that they was going to beat Golden State.
No. I said they were going to beat Golden State. They're going to beat Golden State. There's two different possibilities. They're going to beat Golden State and be in the.
They're
going to
beat Golden State and represent the Western Conference.
They're going to beat Golden State. Exactly. They're going to represent the Western Conference against the Cleveland Cavaliers in the finals this year. No more Golden State this year.
You're saying the same thing that I'm saying, and you're only saying it because I said it first.
No, I've been told you that.
Somebody expose that man. Expose that man. Tell him to stop going on air with my calls first.
But what you
don't
need
try
to do
be,
is
don't try
you and your cowboy need to find
hey,
a run defense.
Hey,
that's what y'all need to do.
He's a hack. He tried to steal my material. Yo, you better get your own team. You better stick with your Pacers and your Colts and take your lumps. And stop jumping wagons.
Hey, believe me, I always take my lumps. Don't worry about that. Just know, OKC, Cleveland, in the finals. I'm calling it right now. October the 3rd, OKC versus Cleveland.
Keep coming back, Sports City, for this entertainment. This boy AR going to keep you laughing, you hear me? You see how he didn't jump? You see how he didn't jump, Sports City? Somebody needed it. Somebody sent some email, sportscitychefs@gmail.com. It will get forwarded to AR. Y'all need to holler at him. Let him know. Let him know he need to stick with his squad. He's born and raised in Indianapolis. That make you a cult and a pacer.
Well, if they're gonna run it to me, they'll definitely be able to get past your defense.
My record's still better than yours. It ain't even nothing to talk about. I don't even got to defend the Cowboys.
The Colts definitely had Arizona.
Hey,
everybody seen the game.
They
should have been. We should be 2-2 right now.
In fact, we gave up three turnovers
in the fourth quarter. That's a problem, bro.
It's a big problem.
I'm not bragging at all. You saying that we just gave it up on our defense? No. We gave up three turnovers. If we decrease the turnovers, we are in every single game. Easily. The very first game of the year, we had two pick sixes. And the guy's still running.
Is Peyton Manning
Andrew Luck is in practice this week.
Dungy didn't retire.
When is the last time that you guys won a playoff game?
Y'all basically 1-3. But technically, you're 0-2.
Yeah, mark the record right. 1-3. What's your record?
Listen,
bro. What's your record? You haven't played 500 ball.
-65. A -65 point differential, bro. That is the highest in the league, bro. A negative 65. Y'all going to do that?
We're going to sure it up. We're going to be better.
Sure it up.
Started with Sunday. You're going to beat the Niners.
You're fought with 500 ball. Nigga, y'all wish y'all was 500 right now.
We're going to beat the Niners.
I'm calling it right now, Tyler. We're going to beat the Niners.
21-7. We're going to beat the Niners.
Listen, so that's who y'all going to beat this year? Y'all going to beat the Browns and the Niners?
Nope.
Huh?
We're going to beat the Niners. One game at a time. Can't move too fast. Season just started. One game at a time.
Come on, man. Y'all
gotta take it slow.
1 week at a time. Everybody knows.
Gotta take it slow.
By week two, the chances of you going to the playoffs and having basically any real success is.
Let's talk about how your Cowboys lost to the Rams.
The best record in the NFC West. What are you talking about?
We're two and three. I'm not afraid to admit it. One and three. Still better than yours, right?
Okay, well, let me know when it changes. You shut up until it changes.
I will. But just know, it's going to happen. It's going to change. And like I said, Andrew Luck is in practice
next week.
He's going to be back in 2 weeks.
It's going to change next season when everybody's 0-0 in week one.
Nope. It's going to change this year.
Jeez, buddy. Listen, I told you I can let the wheels off this thing. I can let them go at it. Okay, so look. All right. So as of the game commencing from week four, a lot of interesting upsets and endings to a lot of the games. First and foremost, while we were in the midst of that Sunday morning, the Saints took care of business up against the Dolphins, 20-0. They shut the Dolphins out. Now, here's my concern there. The Miami Dolphins, right? They won that first game out of the gate up against the Chargers, right? They have not won a game since. They are still owed a game up against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But what bothers me is the guy that I've been talking about for like the past 6-7 years here in Sports City, and that is Jay Cutler. Jay Cutler not only went scoreless in this game, he also threw a pick in the end zone. And it's not like I'm saying this new, because he was doing that while he was in Chicago, throwing interceptions in the end zone. This is the Jay Cutler that I know. Can he turn this thing around is where I'm concerned. The Saints had to try to stay relevant, to stay in that NFC South, being around the Buccaneers, and as well as the Panthers also, and the Falcons. I'm actually ruling the Falcons. I'm actually forgetting to say their name, and they're the guys that won the entire NFC. So the Saints actually kept pace somewhat in the division. The Falcons lost their first game of the season up against the Buffalo Bills at home in the new Mercedes-Benz Stadium. It's not the Superdome or anything, but they have the same Mercedes-Benz motto. But they lost their first game in the new stadium up against Buffalo, where Shady McCoy was going off on every reporter that came in there saying, I've seen all of y'all pick against us, so on and so forth. Come and talk to the winners. I'm feeling them. I'm feeling Shady for them pulling that one off. The Bills are in first place. Oh, let me say it again. The Bills are in first place in the AFC East. I cannot believe that. The Bengals picked up a shellacking up against the Browns, like Royce mentioned. The Browns, they may potentially not win a game this season, too, unless they pick up a cheap win somewhere, or a team that's overlooking them and sneak them somehow. But they are looking like it could be that type of season. The Patriots losing a game at home up against the Carolina Panthers. Cam Newton pulling this one out, and him being Cam Newton, paying attention to everybody on every network, pulling for the Patriots. And I'm not going to lie, before we were going to start the show up on Sunday, I'm not going to lie, I did pick the Patriots too, so I'm one of the guilty parties, Cam. I'll admit it. I didn't think that they could go up into Foxborough and win in Gillette Stadium up against the Panthers. Up against the Patriots, they ended up pulling that one out by a field goal. Too little, too late by the Patriots. They tried to get that scoring turned up in the fourth quarter. It did not work out on their end. The New York Jets have the same record as the New England Patriots, winning their second game of the season up against the Jacksonville Jaguars, winning in overtime 23-20. My cousin was listening to me. Bilal went off for 163 yards and had a 75-yard run, too, in the game as well. Bilal went off. Shout out to the Powell family. You already know how we do. But the Jets are 2-2. They're playing 500 ball. Like, I can't even believe that I'm saying this in week four, when I really was scrambling at the beginning of the season, didn't know when the Jets would get up their first win. They have two thus far. Steelers took care of the Ravens. Now, here's an issue for me right here. The Tennessee Titans. The Tennessee Titans damn near gave up 60 doggone points up against the Texans. Damn near gave up 60 points. A lot of people are talking about, is Deshaun Watson the truth? I do want to throw that one around to Cookout to see how my brothers feel about this. Is Deshaun Watson the truth? Having that enormous day up against this Titans defense, four touchdowns thrown, a touchdown scrambling as well, 283 yards passing, not shabby. But they had a complete game and shutting the Titans down. The Titans only scored those two touchdowns in the second quarter, taking care of their business. The Eagles are 3-1 within the NFC East. The Giants are 0-4, losing to Tampa Bay. The Raiders have lost that game up against the Buccaneers, which I picked the Raiders. I'm not even going to lie. I lost it. I'm having a hell of a time after getting out of the gate picking well. I've been losing like crazy picking now. The Broncos go 3-1, knocking off the Raiders and knocking out Derek Carr in that game as well. And it's like I don't want to talk about that game. But Royce already spilled the jelly beans in the kitchen. The Seahawks damn near putting up 50 up against the Colts. Somebody, if anybody can find dogs on Andrew Luck and shoot him up or do something, they got to do something to get him back out there on that field to help this team out. And last but not least, the Chiefs took care of business at home up against the Redskins, which this was a good game to the complete finish. To the end of this game, this game went to 29-20 with the Chiefs winning up against the Redskins. But the first question I do throw to my brothers, how do you guys feel about Deshaun Watson out of the gate? I'll come to you first, Royce. Is he for real, or is this just, you know, the rookie sensation, you know, feeling the season out as a week four, finish?
Well, Thomas, I'm going to go on record and pretty much say he has to do more. I need a larger body of work to actually, you know, render a judgment that matters or is has any value. I mean, look, it's an early season, obviously. He's a young quarterback. There's a lot going on with that franchise, given, you know, what's happening in the area of Houston, Texas. And so trying to focus, play well, learn the system, go out, execute. Obviously, games are won by three teams in one. You got your offense, your defense, and your special teams. Look, if he can put points on the board and the defense can stop teams, special team can make plays, aid in creating turnovers and giving them solid field production, field positioning, and he can get touchdowns on the board as opposed to, you know, just getting them in field goal range, then he could become a player. Let's see, can he continue through the season to, one, be durable, be healthy, make the right reads, take what the defense gives him. I mean, I know football and basketball is different, but I believe in any game where you're competing against an opponent, you got to take what the defense is giving you. It allows you to, you know, advance and move and maintain possession. So I think it's too early right now. It was a big win for him. He had a big day, and that's wonderful. So, you know, let's applaud him for that. But it's not about momentary excellence. Let's see sustained excellence. Do it again next week, and then turn around and do it again the week after that, and keep doing it. The more that he can put out games like this, the more we'll begin to talk about him and recognize that this guy is en route to being potentially an elite quarterback if he can show us consistent excellence.
Okay, AR, your thoughts on the potential of Deshaun Watson. Is he for real, or do you agree with R. Keezy? Do you need to see more? Does he have to prove consistency?
Well, of course, you know, within the NFL game, you have to be consistent in how you control the game as a quarterback. That's basically what you're out there to do, is control the game, control what you can control, and he's doing a really good job of that. Now, the coaching staff in Houston is actually doing a really good job of helping him with their play selection, and not really giving him the full realms of the playbook, but giving him enough to, you know, be successful with the playbook. And you saw last week when, you know, they had the defense lapsed on them and they lost the game in New England, but they could have beat New England as well, which they should have beat New England. But, I mean, he is doing a pretty good job of what he is capable of doing, and actually is managing and controlling the game. And that's what you really want to see in a rookie quarterback, is you want to see them manage and control the game. Just like when you saw Dak last year, that's basically all he did, was manage and control the game. And he did a great job at that. And that's what Deshaun
was.
Lord Jesus. He's managing and controlling the game. And that's what you have to do as a young quarterback. And now we're going to be able to see this other young quarterback up there in Chicago that they traded for, even though nobody was going to trade for him in the first place, but, you know, that's neither here nor there. So we're going to see if he can do the same thing, as in just manage and control the game. That's what you want to see out of a rookie quarterback.
Okay, fair enough. So to me, just like everybody has mentioned, I do need to see more. However, for him to put up over 55 points in an NFL game, I have my popcorn ready. Deshaun, I have my popcorn ready. Now, here goes the interesting thing, because Bill O'Brien actually said that. He said picking him up in that draft is like picking up Michael Jordan. Now, I think you're going a bit far, and maybe he may win a championship two or three, however it may pan out. I'm not trying to say that he won't. But comparing him already to Michael Jordan, it's like, whoa. First catch Tom Brady in the NFL, then you can start comparing him to Jordan. But I'm not going to poo-poo Deshaun. I am a believer. I do believe the Tennessee Titans, you have your issues right now. especially with Mariota being out. They have just signed, people, buckle up. The Tennessee Titans have just signed Brandon Whedon, the former quarterback of the Texans, the former quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys as well. I just want to see if this does pan out, and I'm wondering, you know, how severe of the injury it is for Mariota if they're going after a guy like Whedon as well. So I'm going to put that one to rest. Now, Royce did throw out this, if, you know, we're in the cookout, people. He did throw out there, how about those Cowboys? Now, let's start right there. First and foremost, I was just too, you know, I'm not going to lie, I was chicken. Yeah, it's a cookout, I was chicken. I was too chicken to try and run with the Los Angeles Rams. I was going to say St. Louis Rams, but they're back to Los Angeles Rams. I was going to run with the, I was just too scared. I didn't think that they could deal with Dallas' offense. I thought Dallas being at home could be comfortable in maintaining the lead and trying to, you know, sit on the ball and make the Rams work for everything. Well, the monologue or the whole, you know, ordeal of the story turned around where the Rams were unstoppable. Todd Gurley had a hell of a day, not only running the ball, but also in the receiving game as well. This guy was a monster in a matchup mismatch, if you will, for the Dallas Cowboys. So the one thing that I'm concerned about with the Cowboys is their defense, as always, is continuing to be their Achilles heel. Of course, they have studs on the offensive side of the ball. Of course, they can move the chains and score the ball. Of course, I respect Zeke and Dak as their second-year sensation, and Dez and Witten as well. I mean, you got to respect everybody that comes out of that huddle offensively for the Cowboys. But this is a bit of concern right now that they not only lost at home to the Rams, they've also lost an interesting game previously to the Broncos also. So I want to see how you guys feel about this one. I'll come to you first on this one. AR, your thoughts with the Cowboys going down once again, up to the Rams this weekend as well.
Well, you know, first off, let's not really talk about the Cowboys because they're not really relevant in this game, because what really showed its face in true colors was, is Todd Gurley really that dude this year? Is he going for MVP? Because the last couple of games he's been putting up MVP-ish numbers. So against the vaunted Dallas Cowboys, he put up 121 yards. That's just on the ground. He put up 94 yards receiving. So Todd Gurley he had a game. So that's what we really need to talk about, is Todd Gurley. And then is Jeff Goff really, he's doing a great job managing and controlling the game. No interceptions, 255 yards. 36 or 21, I mean, that's managing and controlling the game right there. He had a great game as well. So, I mean, we really got to talk about them Rams. Are them Rams the real deal? Are they going to come out of the NFC West? I mean, time's going to tell. I mean, they're leading that conference right now.
Well, just like you said, they lead the West right now. They went into AT&T Stadium to care business up against the Cowboys. Like I said, the one thing that I'm more focused about is their defense. Can the Cowboys' defense start shutting down some of these prolific offenses? Whereas I am going to come to you, since you said, how about the boys? How do you feel about their boys' performance? Having a shot late in the game to try and win this game as well.
Okay. So help me guys understand. At halftime, who was winning?
I think the Rams were winning at halftime, right?
Absolutely not.
And the Rams were winning at halftime, but halftime doesn't matter.
Shut up, I'm talking. Here's what it was. It was a rhetorical question. 24-16, the Cowboys were winning, right?
Here's the reality of the situation.
I'm a realist. I don't need to make any excuses, and I don't need to get into any back and forth at this moment as I give my analysis about this game. In the third quarter, the Rams outscored the Cowboys 10-0. Now, maybe the organization in terms of the team, whoever was calling the plays, the coaches, I'm sure they were concerned. But when you add it up, you're losing now. I mean, that's 26 points to your 24, right? If I'm reading this right, there was some field goals that made it 29-24. Then it turned to 32-24. Then we scored, but it was 32-30. They hit another field goal. We lose 35-30 because we allowed 19 second half points and only put up 6 after coming out the gates with 24 and only allowing 16. So it's obviously a tale of two halves. Now, whatever you want to get into in terms of reasons and rationale and excuses and talk about the defense this, the defense that, and can't stop anybody from running and so forth and so on, the only thing that you said that made any sense and that was absolutely correct is outside of Kareem Hunt, Todd Gurley is having an outstanding season as a running back, period, against practically every defense that he goes against. So obviously there's something cooking on the offensive side of the ball when it comes to the O-line and the halfback, okay? We know those two go hand in hand. You can't have any success with a running back if you don't have a successful offensive line. Don't get it twisted. I might be the resident basketball guy, but I got a little something in my back pocket when it comes to some football and some common sense. So the Cowboys go down to a 2-2 record as a team. But if there are any bright spots for, you know, Cowboy fans, it was the fact that the Cowboys were able to get a little bit more out of Dez Bryant. You know, you guys were just asking me last week questions about Dez, you know, and Dez had 5 receptions for 98 yards. So we're talking, you know, we're rounding up like we're doing basketball. We're talking about a 100-yard day. It's if you're rounding up, but I get it. A hater's going to be technical and say, hey, he's 2 yards shy. Don't give him the 2 yards. Well, I'm not giving him 2 yards at all. His stats don't change. But we're just talking to him. You know, again, if we were rounding up and looking at averages, the guy just averaged 20 yards a catch. And so, obviously, Dez Bryant is still very capable of being the Dez Bryant that we're looking for. And if I was to take somebody else's argument from this panel, it would be, it's still early in the season. It's just the first 4 games. We're not even quite a quarter of the way through the season just yet. So, well, maybe we are if you're breaking it down for 4 quarters. Or, you know, yeah, maybe so. Okay, so here we are sitting at 500. We know what we kind of have in Dak. You know what you have in a guy like Ezekiel Elliott, and you still know what you have with Dez Bryant. So the conversation becomes, let's find weakness. Why? Because that's just what we do, right, in everything in this sport. So we're looking for what's wrong with the Cowboys. Oh, it's the defense. Well, listen, anytime you jump on somebody's head in the first half and you're getting stops, I think it's imperative that you come out in the second half, whether it's football or basketball, and you got to keep jumping on their head. And so to lay an absolute egg in the third quarter while giving up 10, which is minimal. I mean, that's okay. I mean, you did 3, 13, 10, 9. Like, they didn't give up 21 points in a quarter like the Rams did. But neither did they hang another 14 to 21 points on the Rams. And so that's my biggest concern, because at the end of the day, as much as people talk about defense winning championships, the team with the most points wins the game in any and every sport. So until the Cowboys outscore their opponents every week, somebody's going to be able to pick on the defense. That's easy. That's easy. I'm saying there has to be more, I guess you would say, chemistry on the offense. I don't know if it's necessarily in the play calling. I don't always have time to sit and watch every Cowboys game just because I'm a fan. But everybody's got to get right, get on the same page, make plays. But remember, football is what it is, and that's why, you know, it's anybody's game on any given Sunday, because injuries play a major part, health, whether a guy's playing banged up or nicked up. And, you know, we all know in football, man, you just can't say, you know, if he can get on the field, then he ain't hurt. Nah, dudes be really hurt, but they still be out there playing because they need them checks. Hey, NFL, I ain't talked to y'all in a minute. So right now, I'm going to give you my weekly rant. Get them guaranteed contracts done. Y'all need to have that meeting, collective bargaining agreement. Y'all got to figure this out. I don't care if you go on strike and this shit, excuse my language, it go on to some scab football. It's got to get right, man. It's got to get right. It's too much money out here floating around. Nonprofit organization worth billions of dollars, and your players, your personnel, the entertainers, the ones that make it all go, that got me and AR out here arguing back and forth about which team is better. None of these guys got guaranteed money for their anguish and their pain. You saw what just happened to Chris Carson. What if he wasn't a top prospect? What if he didn't have value going forward? They would have cut his butt by now. Right that wrong, man. It's a travesty. Timeless. I'm done.
No problem. Mr. Cooker, I need you on that soapbox. I need you right there. All right. Look, they are one of the elite. As much as I don't like the Cowboys, and I never knew Royce was a Cowboy until this year, so it's like Royce is one of them. You know what I'm saying? Like you know how, you know, in a scary movie, and you've been riding with this dude the whole time, and y'all stabbing vampires in the heart and making sure you got the garlic water already. And then next thing you know, you find out Royce's teeth just started growing, man. You like, damn, you one of them, dog? Like, for real? So just had to throw that little funny little plug in there. But I don't know. I think the Cowboys will start to get it clicking. But right now, their two losses were very much interesting losses, losing to the Rams and giving up 35 points, and also losing to the Broncos and giving up 42 points. Their defense is on trial. That's right. I'm saying it here and now in Fort City. Their defense is an issue. If they don't fix this, something bad could happen when they run into these high-powered offenses that are across the league, especially within their own division. The Redskins didn't look too bad last night. I thought that they could end up either keeping up with the Chiefs or winning that game. The Giants are going to be thirsty to win anything after losing their first four. And Philadelphia is a surprise team, being first place in the NFC East also. So this is something that Dallas has to be concerned about. AR, I will come to you. Your thoughts about that NFC East division, especially with Dallas as one of the teams that are fighting to stay at least above 500 for now.
Well, Timeless, my whole thing is, and I will go on record and say this because it is documented. I said the New York Giants. That's right. The team in blue on the other side of New York in New Jersey, at where their stadium's at, used to be Giants Stadium, MetLife Stadium, the Giants. What in the hell is going on over there? That is my biggest question. Eli doesn't look like Eli. Odell is playing halfway decent, but he's still hurt. You can tell. His ankle is killing him. Sit that man down. Let him get some rest. You're not going to win a game until he does that. Defense is atrocious. Defense couldn't even stop a cold if it came in front of his face. I mean, no, there is absolutely no running game. There's no offensive line. I don't know what's going on with the Jets. I mean the Giants, sorry. And that's another surprising thing. We're thinking week four, we're thinking that the New York Jets, the J-E-T-S, Jets, would be the best team in New York right now? That is, like, mind-blowing. Oh, sorry. No, they're not the best team in New York. The Bills, who traded everybody before the season even started. They traded everybody. But the Jets are literally the surprising team in the NFC East because they are terrible right now. Philadelphia is doing what they need to do. You know, LeGarrette Blount, he's out there channeling his inner beast mode. He made an amazing 60-plus yard run this weekend against the Chargers. Quarterback-wise, they're playing well. Offensive line, they're actually coming together. Defense, they're coming together and playing well. So, I mean, that's going to be surprising. Now, the other surprising aspect of the NFC East is, honestly, the Washington Redskins. I mean, really? It's literally a band of who is who, because the only person you really know is Kirk Cousins. And, you know, all these other, you know, his weapons that he has, they're out there balling. They're actually playing well. I honestly thought they were going to beat the Chiefs last night. They had the Chiefs on numerous occasions. And Kirk Cousins is actually playing worth his $20 million that he's getting for the second year in a row. So, I mean, what I think is they need to just go on and pay that man, because he's actually out there playing, and he really doesn't have that much talent around him. He's making them better. And that's what a quarterback needs to do. But the Giants, you need to get it together, or you need to just go and pack your bags and start cruising on the ship somewhere, because your season might be almost over.
All right. Fair enough. Bigger question in the kitchen right now, since we are dealing with the NFC East, so somewhat with the question that I'm about to align. Arkeezy, I'll come to you first, and then I'll let you start throwing stuff on the grill. Who will get their win first? The Chargers or the Giants? Reason why I use these two teams, they play this week. We won't give out the picks until Sunday, but this is the trade that has me still bitter till this day. In 2004, the first pick of the draft went to the San Diego Chargers. They drafted Eli Manning. Archie Manning came on the stage, stopped the draft, and said, my son will not go to a loser. He did not leave the stage until the Giants selected Phillip Rivers and made the trade happen between the Giants and the Chargers. Who will get their win first? Both of these quarterbacks are playing sluggish out of the gate.
Well, Thomas, we kind of spoke about this a little bit in the green room, so I don't have no problem with sharing my pick. I'm going with the Chargers. And the reason why is, quite frankly, I know Phillip Rivers doesn't have the hardware to show and prove, per se, that he's a better quarterback than Eli Manning. But I like Phillip Rivers, and I'm entertained by the quarterback, Phillip Rivers, more than I've ever been entertained by Eli Manning, despite his success in terms of his teams and winning Super Bowls. I don't feel like those teams were as successful as they were because of Eli Manning. I felt like they had success in spite of Eli Manning. Personally, that's just my thought. That's my view. That's my take on it. So that's why, if this is going to be the bowl and the battle for, you know, bragging rights and which quarterback was the best and who got the right one, baby, well, I'm going with the lightning bolts, man, and the Chargers. Right now, they put up more points on the season, and you know, they've actually given up less total points on the season. So when it comes to making a selection based on numbers, and if the numbers don't lie, then the Chargers should win this game.
Okay, AR, I'm going to let you answer this, and then I'll let Roy start to throw stuff on the grill. Who gets the win first, Eli or Phillip?
I'm honestly going to have to, again, you know, go with Royce on this one, because I really don't see the Giants pulling it together right now. The Chargers have been on the brink on numerous weeks. So I think the Chargers will actually be able to get their first win.
I'm going to say it like this. I'm going to go against the panel, Sports City. I'm going with Big Blue, and here's why. New York cannot come out of that Sunday 0-5. Point blank period. I don't care what nobody sit here and tell me. The Giants cannot come out of that game 0-5. Every news network, I don't care where it is. I don't care if it's ESPN. I don't care if it's Fox. I don't care. Every newspaper will light the Giants on fire I don't know if they'll go after Odell first, Eli first, or McAdoo, but somebody's going to get it. Somebody's going to get it. I don't know if they'll come after McAdoo's job right now, but they cannot come out of that game 0-5. They cannot. I'm going to go against the panel and go with the Giants. I'm going to go with them. As much as I love Phillip Rivers before this season, but I've been seeing this far. This story has been continuing on year after year with Phillip Rivers. Just doesn't close out games. He does not close out games. I'm sorry. I've been saying rolling on the river for far too long. I have not said it all year yet. I have not. Okay. Arkeezy, so I'm going to let you start dicing up, man. Get on the grill and put some things out there.
Okay, here we go. It's basketball season, baby. It's NBA time. Preseason tipped off on Saturday with the Nuggets playing the Golden State Warriors. Nuggets won this game 108-102, followed by the Timberwolves versus the Lakers. Timberwolves won the game 108-99. Sunday's quick little slate of games. We had the Hawks take on the Miami Heat. Heat win the game 96-90. And then we had the new-look Clippers versus the Toronto Raptors. Raptors win that game 121-113, timeless. Yesterday, Monday, we had the Wizards playing, the Long Lions. I don't know where they're really from. 126-96 for the Wizards. The Celtics and Kyrie Irving and Gordon Hayward and the whole new-look Celtics took on Dwight Howard and the new-look Hornets. Celtics win 94-82. In Memphis, we had the Grizzlies defeating the Orlando Magic 92-84. In Dallas, rookie Dennis Smith Jr. got his first NBA preseason game under his belt. Mavericks win 106-104 over the Milwaukee Bucks. The Jazz play a foreign Kings team, get a big win 108-84. The Sacramento Kings play host to the San Antonio Spurs. Kings come away with a 106-100 win in preseason. And then it was the Nuggets against the Lakers in the nightcap. Nuggets get a 113-107 win. Now, I did all of that to set this up, timeless AR. The Los Angeles Lakers, one of two teams. The Nuggets have already played two preseason games as well. The Nuggets are 2-0. That might be a conversation if you want to, cook that up, one of you guys. But what I really want to cook up is the Los Angeles Lakers. And I don't want to cook up their record. I'm no idiot. I'm not expecting these guys to be 2-0 in preseason. I don't expect them to win a lot of games. But I got to talk to you guys about rookie, not Lonzo Ball, rookie Kyle Kuzma from Utah, who lit up the summer league, guys, averaged 21 points and some chains and rebounded well, was getting assists. He shot 48% from three-point range through the summer league. He made more threes in summer league than he did his last year in college. And now in preseason, this guy's picked up right where he left off. I mean, he had 19 points in the first preseason game. Last night he pumps in 23. I think on the total, he's currently 18 for 26 in preseason from the field. I got to ask you guys, do you know, have you ever even heard of Kyle Kuzma? And if not, you should be pointing and clicking and doing some research right now, because I need your thoughts and your take on what is about to become a position battle in Los Angeles for the power forward spot between Julius Randle, Larry Nance Jr., and dare I say rookie Kyle Kuzma? AR, I'm going to come to you first, man. Have you ever heard of Kyle Kuzma?
Well, I will say this. I did watch a lot of the summer league games this year, and he's a kid that really sparked my interest. And the reason why I say this is because he has a different how do you say it? He has a different level to him. Let's say that. He actually can get to the basket without any problems. Like, he doesn't need, you know, somebody to set him up, or he can get to the basket by himself. And he showed that in the summer league and also in these two games here. He can score. And honestly, that's what the Lakers have been, you know, having issues with at that spot of power forward, was inconsistency scoring. So now you have a kid that can actually score at that spot. You'd be dumb not to put him at that spot.
I find it hard to disagree with AR. I mean, you need scoring, right? Julius Randle, a guy who got a little game. We know he played at Kentucky. You know, potential to be a double-double machine. But, you know, in observation of these two games, one thing that Julius Randle has proven in his young NBA career and once again this preseason is that he has moments with that ball in his hands where he is out of control and he is going to pick up an offensive foul. And unfortunately for Larry Nance Jr., timeless, he just keeps picking up some type of ridiculous little nagging injury. Even if it's not major, it's just annoying to have to keep dealing with something. If it's not a lower extremity, it's currently a finger. Your thoughts on this young kid from Utah? It's the college where he attended. This is a guy who's like, I think, the number 27 pick overall that they traded. When they traded away D'Angelo Russell and they got Brooklyn's pick at number 27, this is what came back in return, timeless. Kyle Kuzma, 6'9", 225, lighting it up. Your thoughts?
Well, I'll leave it to my big brother, Arkeezy, to probably put up the more difficult dish of the night up for me, because I'm not going to lie, I cannot stand the Los Angeles Lakers. But from afar, I pay attention to them like crazy. I'm not going to lie, just because it's the Lakers, just because it's the Lake Show. And it's so difficult for me, because I'm not going to lie, power forward position, I'm not going to lie, I love all three of these dudes, especially the high-flying capability of Larry Nance Jr. I really don't want to dump too much on Kuzma's lap, but I'm more of a Julius Randle fan because he can set up his own shot, but just like Roy says, he does play out of control, and at times he doubts himself. Like, at times he won't pull up like he wants to at the free throw line and hit that jump shot, which that's his patent move, is to hit that lefty jump shot at the free throw line. I think that sometimes, I don't know if he's losing confidence or just wants to stay within the system or the flow of the offense, but Kuzma not only can get to the lane, he can actually handle the ball as well. He's a high flyer. He can also pull up and hit that extended jump shot as well, away from the rim too. So this is tough for me. I'm going to go with the veteran being Julius Randle, but I wouldn't be, you know, mad if either one of them started, being Nance or Kuzma. I think Nance would be more or less to try and bring Showtime back in L.A., but I don't think they need that right now. I think they need to win games before they can just get people to jump out of their seats for a dunk. And Kuzma is the guy that can score now. He was a sensation in the summer league. And, I mean, not for nothing, he hit the jump shot just like Julius Randle can. So, to me, it'd be between Kuzma and Julius Randle. However, I'm going to go with the veteran and Randle right now, until Kuzma can, you know, get some more games under his belt, prove that he can handle the flow of a real NBA game, and then they'll make the switch if Julius doesn't, you know, play consistently at the position.
But that's always been Julius's problem, is inconsistency. True. He hasn't been very consistent through his career at all. I mean, point is that Julius Randle had an opportunity. He had a big chance because with Kobe leaving, Julius had a chance to take over the whole realm of the organization. Okay, yes, you're coming back off of your injury and everything, but now you have a chance to take this organization and make it your own. He didn't take that chance. He didn't take that opportunity. Julius Randle has not been consistent throughout his whole entire career in the NBA. So, honestly, it's time. If Kuzma's going to be consistent, and he's going to consistently give you Not you don't even have to give me 23 points. If you can give me 15 to 10, that's cool. But, I mean, the Lakers can work with that because they're still in the rebuilding stage right now. But
yeah.
They need consistency.
I feel you on that. And look, I'm a guy that, you know, I've been talking about Julius Randle in terms of these young Lakers, what they had, you know, to kind of like build around. Now that they have moved on, obviously, from D'Angelo Russell, and, you know, last year you draft Brandon Ingram, and you know he's a project, and, you know, we all think he's probably going to be, you know, special. He's just got, you know, physical tools and giftings and abilities. You know, he just needs, you know, to be featured a little bit. But here's what even makes his stock take a bump right now, guys. This Kyle Kuzma kid looks for real. And when I say for real, I don't mean like, okay, yeah, he can score the ball. I mean, he looks for real like he is on some like madman mission to prove that he is the best scoring option for all of the Lakers. Forget just the position battle. It's kind of like put the ball in my hands. Dare I say, it's like putting the ball in Kobe's hands. You just expect buckets to be made, buckets to be scored, good things to happen. Kobe wasn't the greatest playmaker. He wasn't known for being a playmaker. He was known for being a guy that gets buckets. He eventually, obviously, as he aged, he started playmaking more for others when they were winning championships and all that kind of good stuff. But this kid, Kyle Kuzma, has been doing this for his whole career. Go all the way back to, like, high school stats. This dude gives you the points. He gives you, you know, the 5 to 7 rebounds, and he gives you the 2 to 3.5 assists. A complete game. He's long. Hey, all I can say is Julius Randle, Larry Nance, one of you guys better figure out which one of y'all really want to stay in L.A. because one of you is packing your bags. I can promise you that. All three of you guys are not staying. Kuzma is taking someone's job. Even if he doesn't start the regular season, he's going to get those 26 to 29 minutes like he just got in preseason and turning in 19 to 23 points. That puts you at what, 20-21 point average per game off the bench? Guys, if he doesn't start, he is automatically their sixth man. There's no more Lou Williams, so he's not the sixth man for the Lakers. Jordan Clarkson, I don't trust him to be consistent as the sixth man and provide scoring punch. Kyle Kuzma has a role on this Laker team, and he will have the best rookie season for the purple and gold or forum blue, whatever they want to call it out there. It won't be Lonzo Ball stealing all the shine. It's going to be Kyle Kuzma. So that's my early NBA dish for them Lakers, man.
So it's not going to be Ball? Ball's not going to do it?
No, man. Listen. Do your homework, folks out there inside Sports City. Lonzo Ball cannot shoot. He cannot
nope.
shoot the ball. I mean, this guy, that's going to be his
problem.
So
he can shoot from distance.
No. When you shoot 22% from the field, you cannot shoot, okay? You cannot. You cannot. Okay? Listen to me. In the NBA, first of all, look, Ricky Rubio is only still in the league because Ricky Rubio can run a damn team and pass the ball. The same thing that it was with Jason Kidd early on in his career. That's the mold in which we receive Lonzo Ball. He's a guy who cannot score the ball with consistency from the outside, whether it's long range, short range, mid range. The dude is shooting like 20-some percent, bro. He's not even in the Ricky Rubio stratosphere of 35, 36, okay? You got to get to almost at least – you got to – come on, man, listen. 38-39% from the field is horrible by NBA standards. But if he was shooting 38-39%, then I would say he could average 10 points a game. He is not going to average anywhere near 10 points a game if he can't find a freaking shot that he can make on a regular basis. I promise you that. But does he have tremendous floor vision? Absolutely. Do his teammates love playing with him? Absolutely. Can he make the pass and push the pace and increase their tempo? Absolutely. Will he impact winning? Absolutely. He just won't do it by scoring points in any way, shape, form, or fashion, unless he has a hand in somebody else scoring points. And that's the type of season that's coming up for Lonzo Ball, man. He's going to touch some different categories as far as stats, but scoring? Uh-uh. Absolutely. Mm-mm. No. At least something to be desired.
So okay. what are your thoughts on their dad taking LaMelo out of school and homeschooling? What are your thoughts on that?
I am so glad you brought that up, but I'm going to defer to Timeless first, so all this background noise is not a part of the show.
I'm going to be honest, I'm not a fan of it. I think he's taking away from his son at least being seen for the next 2 years, because he's a junior, if I'm not mistaken, correct? So he gets away from, you know, being a McDonald All-American. I know that he's already, I don't know if it's verbally committed, but he's committed to go to UCLA. But let him go out there and run and play ball. So what if you have a spat with that coach and you saying that you put that coach in position to be the coach that he is with Chino Hills? Enough is enough. Like, you got your son to be in an NBA team on the team that you want him to be with the Lakers. Like, having $1 million given to you by your son somehow, some way, relax. What is this? Like, what are you trying to prove, that you can homeschool your son? Like, come stop that. Let these guys live their lives. He's not even living his life. All three of them are living through your eyes, man. Like, or through what the way that you want them to live it. Like, they have to be their own men at the end of the day. Like, I still feel Lonzo right now is still living in the shadow of his father, and he's a professional basketball player. He's a professional basketball player. This is a level that his father has not reached. His father has not reached that, and he still looks at his father like, yeah, not only do I honor my father and respect him, but it's like, shoot, I'm intimidated by him. Like, let him live his life. Like, let that go. Like, come on, you got to let these guys develop into the people that they're going to be. You created them, yes. I give you that as a father, but come on now. You pulling them out of school like you have a teaching credential? I don't think so. I think that's a bad move, like, educational-wise. And this is like the Furious Styles coming out of me. And if y'all don't know who Furious Styles is, y'all can go back to a movie that came out around 91, 92 called Boys in the Hood. So I don't agree with it at all. This is the Furious Styles time that's coming at you.
Okay. All right. I like that, Timeless. I'm glad that you're feeling furious. But I'm going to tell you why I absolutely love the move. Why? You know, no one might really like LeVar Ball's antics or his conversation or his presentation, but all I'm going to say is, it's pure genius, man. This dude is a visionary, and anytime you get somebody like a Jay-Z to come along and say stuff like, the man has a vision, why wouldn't I support him? You got to look a little bit deeper, right? And so the move to take LaMelo, you know, out of public school or the school that he was attending and say he's not going to play for the team, forget the reason why. Because on the surface, you say, oh, it's the spat with this head coach. No, that ain't the reason why. The reason why was the conversation last week. All that stuff that's going on with the NCAA and all those guilty individuals and parties and universities, it's just like, okay, how do I navigate my son safely around this mess? Because it's out there. All right. Now, we know they have their own AAU team or program, right? He's already on the NBA radar. We already know LaMelo is the best of the three Ball boys. So we know he's going to the league. That's not in question. There's not an issue when it comes to education, because there are many, many American students who are homeschooled. My son Royce King Jr. was homeschooled, okay? There are many who are successfully homeschooled, and they go on to college, university, work, gainfully employed, do whatever, right? That's a traditional, just a regular Joe, not a pro athlete, right? Or an entertainer. Now, remember, basketball players, pro athletes, are entertainers now. Don't forget. So I also make the case of Chris Brown, Usher, child actors, TV stars. They don't go to regular public schools or private schools. They get homeschooled. They get the best tutors and educators that money can buy. So they successfully complete what is required when it comes to the education process in terms of high school education, right? So why is this an issue when LeVar Ball takes his son out? I'm going to tell you why it's an issue. Because it's never been done before. It's unheard of. And it's being done with basketball. And there are so many people trying to make it in basketball, and LeVar Ball is pioneering and paving a road and blazing a trail and setting up a path that other basketball players with the talent on par with LaMelo, they're going to try it too. Uh-oh, floodgates, a new trend, it's a change. This is an issue. This is a problem for the system. He pulled the Neo, okay? He made a choice. He didn't go with the program, and he's going to set other people free. LeVar Ball, I put it this way to someone earlier today. Help me out, guys, because I can't remember Venus and Serena's father's name. Mr.
Richard
Williams.
Richard Williams.
Richard Williams. What LeVar Ball has done is he has taken the Richard Williams blueprint, meshed that a little bit with some of that Kardashian blueprint for marketing and promoting and gaining attention. Because you got to remember, LaMelo has over 2 million followers on Instagram. He don't need to be found by the NBA. Everybody knows where LaMelo is. LeVar has taken Williams, Kardashian, put it all together, shake it up, and give you Big Baller Brand. That's what he did. And it's pure genius. No one else figured it out. And it wouldn't have been figured out, and it wouldn't have been done had it not been for the evolution of technology and things like that. Times have changed. Technology has changed. The way kids are found and exposed to getting to the next level is not about scholarship. These guys are professional athletes. They're not going to play 4 years of college ball. They got enough money, and they got enough technology to be their own television network whenever they feel good and ready to go on air and go live. They have fans. They have followers. Worst case scenario, let's say the three ball boys combine only play a total of 10 years in the NBA. Three guys combined for only 10 years in the league. Do you think they're ever going to be hurting financially from this day forward? Absolutely not. Because they've already figured out how to make money. So all they got to do is keep doing what they're doing, and they're going to continue to make money for the rest of their lives, whether they're playing basketball or not. So what LeVar Ball has actually done for parents and ball players out there who are astute and will stop and pay attention for a moment and stop being critical, because it's, I hate to say it, a black man doing it, he's showing you how to get money. He's showing how if anybody's going to exploit your kid, you need to be the one to exploit them and leverage all the money in your pocket and don't run around chasing other people for their approval and their handouts when they're giving you chump change and keeping billions and the Power. I believe it was the Lox and DMX that said it best. Money, Power, Respect. I forgot Queen B, Lil' Kim was on that. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Money, Power, Respect. Keep you eating right. Okay? I ain't mad at LeVar Ball, man. Straight mad scientist. If I could have done it, if I had the three boys to do it, I would have did it.
Well, I mean, I think Royce really answered that question there. I don't really have anything else to say about it. I mean, Timeless, do you have anything to say about it? Anything else?
Well, I mean, there's no right or wrong answer. You know, I mean,
right.
and he definitely, you know, put his finger on it in the way that, you know, he you know, like the way LeVar is doing his thing. I feel like these guys should have the right to go through high school, go to a prom, and live there, you know, live how they want to live, man. Like that's the way that I'm looking at it. Go through the high school experience
yeah.
how they want. Like I don't want it to be like, oh, I'm going to make sure that I shell him away and do it how I want to do it. And he's his father, so he's entitled to do it however he wants. But let these guys live. I don't want to look at it like I'm the hater, like a lot of people do, pin themselves up against LeVar. I feel like LeVar is robbing his sons of doing what they want to do. It's already bad enough that Lonzo was strong enough to make it this far to one season at UCLA, do the one and done and be the pick for the Lakers, how he wanted it to go down. But I don't think LaMelo will be that type of player. I think, I'm saying it wrong, LiAngelo will end up being like that. LaMelo, he's going to have to put size on. Like, he may be 6'3", but he's frail as ever. I feel like they're going to push him around and be one. He's going to have to eat. He's going to have to do something. He's really olive oil. To me, he's olive oil. He is olive oil. Like, so, I don't know. And he's going to have to see more than just Chino Hills basketball, but we'll see. We'll see how this all works out. But right now, for me personally, I'm against it.
Well, I agree with you on this aspect of it, though, Timeless. When I say, again, that this guy has vision and he's doing something that's never been done before and he's pioneering something, doesn't mean that this is the way to go, that there is no other option, there is no other route. Because basically what you pointed out, the trade-off is if you're not in public school or your private school, then you may miss out on your particular school's prom. But you mean to tell me a guy with over 2 million followers can't find a prom to attend in the next couple of years? yeah, come on. He's got over 2 million followers. He's going to somebody's prom, okay? He can go to the dances. He can show up to all the different homecomings he wants to go to if he wanted to. He could go to the prom for every night of the week for a whole month, as long as they all schedule on a different day. You know what I'm saying? You can do it.
So basically, all you're saying is he's just walking around talking about, "Mama, I made it." That's all he's saying.
What I'm saying is, they have figured it out, and don't go with some other media boneheads narrative like LeVar just bullied and beasted his kids into doing it his way. He's a father. He's a father. They are his sons. They love this man. They know this man. They trust this man. Has he failed them? No, it doesn't matter what we think. The Ballers brand, the Balls Together, have decided what they're going to do. LeVar's the voice. He's the visionary. He's the spokesperson. He's the guy who's saying this is what is going to happen. He can say it. Could a 16, 17-year-old kid, Carmelo, come out himself and say, "I ain't going to school no more. I'm going to be homeschooled because I want to be homeschooled. I don't want to do it like this"? No. No. That would be totally unacceptable. Now, the way that is being done, is it unacceptable? No. Is it legal? Yes. No one can make a stink about it other than for the sake of making a stink. He's not breaking any laws. He's not doing anything illegal. He's really not depriving his child of anything. What he's doing, again, I say to you, is he's leveraging everything in the favor of his family for his child's interest. The man has long-range vision. I feel like I can see it. So I damn sure ain't out to talk crazy. I'm going to keep my mouth shut and take notes. LeVar, I'm watching you, boy. Do what you do.
Now, just an update, Sports City. Minnesota is winning right now, unfortunately. 3-0 in the first inning.
Whoa.
Two home runs.
Unfortunately, wait. What's unfortunately talking? Like you don't know who you're talking to me. I am the. Whoa, wait. Pop those brakes. Wait. You got to understand this. I am the Twins fan here. Unfortunately, jeez. Give me a break.
Yeah. I mean, you know, that I do understand, but, you know, my Yankees are not looking too good right now. Luis, our pitcher, he's not doing very well. He's giving up two home runs in the very first inning with only 20 pitches thrown.
Okay. I'm sorry that's happening. I'm sorry that's happening
Thunder
to you.
Rockets. Thunder Rockets. It's been a great show, guys. I hate to cut you short, but the game is
on. I'm trying to get us out of here. You're right, Rick. I'm getting us out of here. Let's do that. I'm getting us out of here. I need plugs and close off the beat to you. I'll start with you first. Arkeezy, you're going to get to the game. I'm going to get to both of my Twins and my Thunder on TV. Like, my TV is going back and forth while we are at it. So I need a plug and close out from you first, and then I'll get to AR. You already know how to do this.
All right, here we go, man. It's your boy, Arkeezy. Quick announcements. A week from today, Tuesday, October 10th, 8:30 p.m. Eastern, yours truly, open mic night at Crackers Comedy Club in Broad Ripple, Indianapolis, Indiana. Come through. Check it out. It's going to be a great time. Let's back it on up. Saturday, October 7th at 6 p.m. Eastern, the Indianapolis Police Department versus the Indianapolis Fire Department charity fundraiser game starts 6 p.m. Christmas Addicts High School, raising funds for the Julian Center shelter for those who have suffered domestic violence or sexual violence. Great cause. Come out, show your support. And on tomorrow night, Wednesday, October 4th at 6:30 p.m. Eastern, I'll be speaking to the members of the Fall Creek Officials Association, tell a little bit about my story and my rise in officiating basketball over the last five seasons. It's going to be a great time. Show your love, show your support, man. Come back next Tuesday. I apologize in advance that I will not be present, so I'm going to make it up to you. We're going to be right back here this Thursday for the Crossover Cafe. It's going down 7 p.m. Eastern time. But also, again, if you're a resident, a listener for the cookout on Tuesday nights at 7 p.m. Eastern, come right back here, Timeless AR in the building, give you nothing but that heat. Peace.
No doubt. AR, I need a plug, close out from you. The Crossover Cafe will be in effect. Royce already broke the news for Thursday.
Well, you know, again, it's your boy, AR. You can find me on all social media platforms. I am out there live and well. You know, again, my hopes and prayers go out to all the tragic events that have been going on in this great country. You know, even though 45 doesn't want to fully show full commitment to those tragedies, but you know, still, we're going to work through it. We're Americans, and you know, my Colts are going to see a better day. Andrew Luck is at practice. He is practicing this week, and he should be playing in 2 weeks.
Okay, I apologize that that's happening to the Indianapolis Colts, and no, let me stop joking around. Sports City, man, I'm glad that I got my brothers here to help lift me back up, man. I had to get back in here. You know, they were there for me Sunday while everything was going down, but I got to get through it somehow, some way, man. Through God, man. So I don't know, man. It's a lot of stress and strain on my family as well as myself. I'm trying to look outside of me, man. I got a family that's stressing and going through this with me, man. And I had people that were there at the concert out there in Vegas. I was just praying that I could get through to them. They responded to me. So at least three of the people that I knew that were at the concert were safe. But just knowing that this guy had hit over 200 people, in which 58 people lost their lives. If anybody can, if you're listening to the show, I would actually like the list of the individuals that have lost their lives, just so I could acknowledge the names and, you know, just not single nobody out, man, because everybody's going through this together, man. Like I said, like Roy said previously, we'll be back on the air Thursday, Crossover Cafe, 7 p.m. start, so we can get into the Monday night game, because that Monday night game will be a good one. And we will put picks out there during the show for the game as well, because I think Royce is still here. But I'm going to go with the Bucks just to surprise people, but I'll do it again on Thursday just to surprise you again. On that note, I got to watch my boys try to get to the rest of this postseason up against these Yankees, man. I got a
wait
lot
a minute,
of my
wait
people.
Wait a minute. I'm so sorry, Thomas. I got one more thing. Is it okay?
You already got the floor.
Thomas, you should have just cut him off. He didn't. There's no reason for him to come with this. No reason at all. This team lost. You lost last weekend. Deal with it. You lost. Thomas, come on. Let's finish this show. Wrap it up, Thomas. Let's go.
I'm fine. Look, he happy. I don't know what's up. I'll let him glow. Let him do what he need to do, man. On that note, tell a friend that it's the chefs again. And if they don't know, now they know.
What a thought, I'd be caught in this life, let's celebrate with a toast and get lost in tonight and make it all light up. Wait until the sun goes down, we gon' make this bitch light up. Even when the sun goes down, I'ma make it go.
Ow, hoes turning heads like owls. I'm the man of the ow. Triple entendre, don't even ask me how. Con Edison flaunt connected to a high power. Y'all can miss me with the money talk. The smart money's on hold, fuck what the dummies talk. I don't do too much blogging. I just run the town, I don't do too much jogging. The summer's off, the winter too. Top down in the winter, that's what winners do. And to these niggas, I'm like Windows 7. You let them tell it, they swear, cause they invented you. And since no good deed go unpunished, I'm not as cool with niggas as I once was. I once was, cool as the funds was. But these bright lights turn me to a monster. Sorry, mama, I promise it wouldn't change me, but I wouldn't went insane had I remained the same me. Fuck me, this is true. All I got is this money, this to do.
Who would have thought I'd be caught in this life? Let's celebrate with a toast and get lost in tonight and make it all light up.